Well, good morning and welcome to Banbury Christian Fellowship Church. Thank you for joining us for our live stream service today. We are live in our church building in Banbury on Royal Deeside, and we trust that you will be blessed today by hearing the Word of God. And we are hoping that this will be our last ever exclusively live streamed service, and that we will be able to welcome you here in person very, very soon. But we await final word on that this week. Today is our Mission Sunday, where we're going to be thinking about God's heart for mission. And we're also going to be hearing updates from some of our mission partners who are fulfilling Christ's mission in some very different settings, and each having a very unique mission. But first of all, let's hear from God himself from the pages of Scripture as I read these verses from Isaiah chapter 45, reading from verse 18. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you survivors of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. The prophet Isaiah gives God's people a glimpse of the glorious future that lies ahead. Even though there are hardships knocking at their door, he reminds them that God is working on a global scale, drawing people to himself. And in fact, he even speaks there of assembling yourselves together. That's the hope that we have as well, that we'll be able to do that soon. And it shouldn't be surprising to us that God's mission is on this global scale, drawing people to himself. Because as Isaiah puts it, God created the earth and he made it to be inhabited. He cares for the creatures that live in the earth. And so this places an obligation on everyone, wherever they're from, whatever their background, to humbly come before God and to worship him. Well, let's take time to pray and ask God to help us in our worship of him today. Let's pray. Yes, our Father in heaven, we draw near to you now to worship you. As we have enjoyed, in a sense, the official arrival of spring this weekend, we have seen something of the beauty of new life emerging. And we even feel a sense of hope that comes from that. But Lord, we are in awe, not of the rhythms of creation, but of the power and precision and care of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And Father, how humbling your words through your prophet, that you created the earth so that it might be inhabited. All of this precision, all of this awe-inspiring beauty, all of this complexity in our world, and all for us, so that we could live here, so that we could worship you, our Creator. Well might all people on earth sing to you, serve you, and rejoice. But Lord, this does not describe our lives. Joyful worship of our Creator God is often not the sound on our lips, and often not the attitude of our hearts. More than that, our tendency is not merely not to worship you, but to actually worship created things, to delight in them, and to have the possession of them more important to us than delighting in you. Lord, you have made us to know you, to be in your image in this world. And the more we reflect on who you are, we must confess that we are not what you've called us to be. We are sinners. We dishonor you with our ingratitude. And we deserve nothing from you, Lord. Please forgive us, we pray. And yet we're reminded that you call us to seek you, to turn to you, and to be saved. A promise given not just to a particular nation or culture, but to all who will come, to the ends of the earth. You don't just call us. You don't tell us to do the impossible. We praise you that it is you who makes the way back to you possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life of perfect obedience and his death in the place of sinners on the cross. Thank you that it is in bowing the knee to Jesus Christ that we find you and have the promise of being with you forever. We praise you that your salvation call goes throughout the whole world, even to where we are. Thank you that Jesus is a Savior, even for us. We thank you that this mission goes on and will go on until Jesus returns, when all those who belong to him will then be with him and be together with all who are his forever. What a glorious day that will be, and what a glorious hope. When, naturally speaking, so many have struggled to find motivation for another month, another week, even another day. But we thank you that in Christ we have a reason to live every minute of every day, and reason to hope in what's coming, a hope that endures regardless of lockdowns and viruses. So help us, Lord, today to be thrilled about the mission of Jesus Christ, because we're thrilled about who he is. Be near each one who is watching today. May your word do what you've promised it will do. May it teach us, rebuke us, correct us, train us, mature us, and equip us to fulfill your good purposes for us in Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen. The promise that God gave to Abram is one of the key texts in Scripture, because it's there that God reveals his intention for this world, not to leave us to our own sin, leave us headed for judgment, but his determination to intervene, to change the course of human history, so to speak, so that we might know his blessing. But promises are one thing. Being able to fulfill them is quite another. But what I want to do now is I want to fast forward to another part of the Bible, actually to the very end, to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is given a vision from Christ, a vision of heavenly realities. He's even given a glimpse of what the future will look like. And I want to just read some verses from chapter 7, where John is shown something in the very throne room of heaven. This is Revelation 7. I'm reading from verse 9. Listen to these wonderful words. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes. From where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, John describes the throne of God and the amazing scene that surrounds it. And here, in chapter 7, he sees a group of people that he didn't see before. And, you know, we read a number of verses here just to make sure we got the explanation of who they are. Those who have come through the tribulation, and there's a lot of debate among Christians as to exactly what that refers to. But for our purposes, suffice to say, Christians who have endured hardship and persecution for their faith in Jesus. And look at what stood out to John, the first thing that stood out to him. What does he see? Verse 9, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. And they're singing about salvation. Here, we are given a forward look of what God will accomplish. And here they are, every one of those nations represented, every language represented there. God's promise to Abram and his repeated promise throughout Scripture will prove true, because he will bring people from all corners of the earth, all sorts of people, to dwell with him. And to do so in a way that means the things that plagued them in life will be no more. No longer will they have a lack of shelter. No longer will they hunger or thirst. No longer will they shed tears of sorrow. This is blessing indeed. God promised through Abram to bless all the nations. And here they are, fully, truly blessed. But here we also learn how God accomplished this remarkable thing. One of the elders there explains who they are. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And you can see that there must be some symbolism here. After all, in general, you don't make something clean by washing it in blood. But this is the great paradox of God's plan to rescue human beings. To pick up on this metaphor some more, our clothes are heavily soiled, stained with our sin. Sin is rebelling against God. So the things he would have us do, anytime we don't do that, then we sin. To stick with this image, it stains us. And God, who is perfect, who is pure in every way, he can only have that which is pure and perfect in his presence. There is no way back to God so long as we are stained with sin. And every one of us is. Now, many people recognize that problem instinctively. There's a level of residual guilt that can lie there. And so they set about trying to wash away those stains. Maybe those who are in a Christian culture will do so by baptism, church attendance, Bible reading, observing religious festivals. But these things will never do. I mean, that multitude round God's throne, it doesn't say that they stand clean and pure before God because of good things that they did. Why are they cleansed and pure before God? Because they washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, who came to be our Savior. He lived the spotless, unstained life. He had no need to be cleansed, but instead he laid down his life so that sinners like you and me could be cleansed. He took on our dirt so that we could take on his clean, spotless robes. And so by trusting in Jesus, having confidence that he shed his blood for you, you can know the cleansing from sin that only Jesus can provide. And we receive that by honestly coming before God, confessing that our garments are filthy, and believing that Jesus' bloody sacrifice is the only thing that can cleanse. And we turn from our sin and we follow him. Whatever your nationality, whatever your background, this is the message for you. This is how you come into that supreme blessing of God, by trusting in Jesus Christ. It is the blessed life. Isn't it amazing that this message about a crucified Savior is saving people right around the world, even now, making an impact on the lives of all sorts of people? But has it made a saving impact on you? That's the most crucial question you must answer. One of the other mission partners that we have is Dignity Freedom Network, the Dignity Freedom Network. And they have been, for 20 years now, working in Southern Asia, outworking the gospel, transforming people's lives. And we've had some problems with the video that they provided, which is a shame. It was a really beautiful video they provided, but we've had some problems with the file. And so it's to me just to give a little flavor of the work that they do. I was involved with the work of DFN even before I came to this church. So I was delighted to see that it was one of our church mission partners. And they particularly have a strong emphasis on providing education, providing schools for the poorest of people, for those who are literally outcasts in their communities. And so they have developed a network of over 100 schools now, and I think somewhere in the region of 25,000 students who are receiving an education, and an education in English, which otherwise they would have had no access to. As you can imagine, the recent COVID situation has meant that they've had to adapt. Things that they had planned to do haven't come to pass. But as with all of these challenges, they bring opportunities. And DFN have been using some of their schools as medical centres and relief centres for the local community. They've been providing meals for some of the poorest people in their communities, and really just being a witness to Jesus Christ in the midst of these dark times. Their work against human trafficking is something that still goes on, and such a blight on the human race, that this is something that continues on, particularly children and women being targeted in this way and exploited and terribly abused. And the work that the Dignity Freedom Network and others are doing in this area is vital. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for them. And as they've been a strong support to villagers that they work with in protecting them from the worst of coronavirus, but also as they still deal with those everyday problems which have not gone away with coronavirus, that they would be blessed and they'd have opportunity to speak for Jesus. We have thought about where God's promise to bless all nations, it started with Abram, and we've had that glimpse of where it's heading, where it all ends, with people from every tribe and nation and language gathered round the throne of God, worshipping, praising God for the salvation that he's given them. But what happens in between? God's promise to do it, the evidence that God has done it, what happens in between? How does he get from there to there? Well, we've already spoken of his sending Jesus to be our Savior. But how does that in itself carry the blessing to the whole world? The answer lies very close to home for you and for me. I'm going to read some verses from the end of Matthew's Gospel. The setting is that Jesus has died, he's been raised again, and he has some parting words for his disciples before he ascends back into heaven. This is Matthew 28 from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." These are verses that are very regularly read at mission-themed services such as ours today. But I want to urge you, even if you have heard these verses 100 times before, whatever you do, do not switch off. These are the words of Christ. These are words that give Christians their purpose in life, a purpose that we very easily miss. We need to hear these verses 100 times and more. There is a challenge in this command of Christ, but there is a rich encouragement for us as well, and I want us to hear both. Jesus gives his followers a mission that wasn't just for the 11 who stood there and heard Jesus that day, but one that necessarily passes down to every successive generation of Christians. It's the call of every follower of Jesus, and it can be summed up simply, as he puts it in verse 9, it is the call to make disciples. That's the mission. That is the only command in these verses. The other bits explain how that command is to be fulfilled. Here's the pattern that Jesus lays down. Jesus' disciples make it their mission to make new disciples. Simple, really. So how do they do it? Verse 19, go. They go and make disciples. And so as we've already seen, there is not a people group, not a nationality that will not be represented in God's presence when the history of this world is wrapped up. People from all backgrounds are going to come to Jesus and find salvation. And that is why we must never diminish our commitment to the work of spreading the gospel right around the globe. Some sense that call from God to go overseas and to make Jesus known, to carry the gospel to places where there is very little, if any, gospel witness. And I would urge any of you who are watching today to consider whether that might be the call for you. It's surprisingly rare these days for us to encourage people to think in those terms. So maybe that would be a first. But God does remarkable things with people who perhaps find themselves retired and wonder what the next thing might be for them. Folks who are taking some time out before going into further education. God does remarkable things to give them a heart for a nation, for a people. Don't discount it. And I need to say that we as elders in the church would want to help you to be clear on that and to support you in every way that we could. Of course, not everyone is called overseas. Most are not called to go. Most are called to send. And I want to encourage you that as we continue to support our mission partners, we really are fulfilling this command of Christ's to make disciples, to go into all nations and make disciples. As we join with them in prayer, as we commit to support them practically, we are engaging with them in the work of the gospel where they are. But also don't forget that all nations includes this nation. It includes your nation. In fact, Scotland today, statistically speaking, is an unreached nation. Only about 2% of the population, with generous counting, are born-again Christians, and most of the population are ignorant of the gospel. There is a mission to fulfill here as well. People here need Jesus too. And you are here. And there are people that only you can reach. I suppose we ask in fulfilling this command to make disciples, are we going to them? As we emerge out of lockdown, are we ready to go? Are we ready to be bold where there is opportunity to speak about Jesus, to invite people to come to something, to offer to read a gospel with someone? Let me encourage you to ask God, particularly as we look to emerge out of this lockdown season, to give you a burden for 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 people, and commit to pray for them every day for some opportunity to speak about your faith, some chance to share your story with them. These are the sorts of things that it will take to reach the people that you and I know. And we do so because we have the greatest news imaginable, and we really do want to share it. How amazing it is to think that God gets from that promise, that simple promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, all the way to those nations gathered round the throne of heaven, and he gets from there to there, yes, by sending his son, but by sending the followers of Jesus to tell them what Jesus has done. You and I play our part in seeing the nations gathered around the throne of God, worshiping God for salvation. That is as exciting as it gets. Well, as I close, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 28 to make disciples. They are to do that by going into all the world. And they are to do that by baptizing. That is the mark of someone coming to faith. They are to do that by teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. That is walking alongside someone, demonstrating what it means to follow Jesus. Seems like a tall order, doesn't it? We have every reason to be fearful. But the huge encouragement of those verses come at the start and the end of Jesus' words, because they point us to him. As if Jesus wants us to see that even though he is sending his followers to fulfill a crucial task, this never ceases to be his mission. To doubting and fearful disciples, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus, who died and now has been raised to life, is the rightful ruler of heaven and earth. And he says, "So go." And look how he ends it. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is how we get from Abraham's promise to heaven's multitude. The work of Christ done by the presence of Christ in the people of Christ. So brothers and sisters in Christ, step forward today with confidence. Confidence in Jesus, that when we do his will, he is pleased to build his church here and in every part of the earth.
Let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning individually and corporately and praise your holy name. Thank you that in days of uncertainty, where ordinary freedoms that we've taken for granted have been removed from us, that we can look to Jesus, the only reliable person to whom we can take all our hopes and fears to. Thank you that in times when the things we thought were reliable have crumbled, your word remains constant and your ways good. We thank you, Lord, that whatever schemes the father of lies is promoting, that we can live in the joy of the knowledge that you have already defeated darkness and death at the cross through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection. Lord, we cry out for all people who might accept this free gift of salvation, attained through Jesus, whilst there is still time. Lord, have mercy on us. We have so often fallen short of our own standards, never mind yours. We are inclined to go in our own direction, in our own strength, for our own purposes, and the results are not good. Forgive us, we pray, and teach us your ways through the Bible and by following Jesus in spirit and truth. Lord God, we confess that at times our patience wears thin and we struggle to remain understanding and gracious. Forgive us, Lord, and in your mercy refresh us with faith, perseverance, wisdom, and love, that we may exhibit the same to those around us. Lord, for our leaders and governments, we continue to pray for wisdom, integrity, and moral courage as they seek to govern under considerable pressures. May they seek your counsel, Lord, in these days and weeks ahead. Father, we're aware that for many, persecution is a daily reality. We pray for those brothers and sisters around the world that you would bring them relief, comfort, and security from their persecutors. At home, we pray for all those affected by the ongoing restrictions, whether through difficult working conditions, health concerns, separation from loved ones, isolation, loss of livelihood, or fear. We particularly pray for the vulnerable, the elderly, and children in our communities, and pray your protection over them. We pray for those from our own congregation and our families and friends and colleagues who are suffering in whatever way. We hold them up to you and ask that your spirit of comfort, peace, and healing will be known to them. Lord God, thank you for our church community and the facilities that we have been used to enjoying. We look forward to the day when we can worship fully and freely together again and pray that day will be soon. Help our church leadership team here as they seek to organize church again for gathered services, and protect us as we do so. Lord, as your word continues to bless and serve people all over the world, we hold up to you those in mission, some of whom we've heard about today, who faithfully bring your word to everyone who would hear it. Bless them and protect them, we pray. Go before us, Lord, in these days and weeks ahead, as we all seek to be ambassadors for Christ wherever we are. And Lord, we remember and thank you for our Pastor Duncan and for the ongoing search for a pastor in training to support him. And we pray for the person that you have already prepared as interviews go ahead this week. So Lord, we pray these things in the great joy, blessing, and knowledge of our eternal security in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining with us today. I do also want to thank the team that are here today that have made the service possible, successfully navigating the pressures and stresses of the environment, and I know you appreciate their efforts as well. If you have any questions about anything you've heard today or you want any more information, please do get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. But just to draw this to a close, let me say the words that are echoing in the throne room of heaven. To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.